given us breath in our lungs. Thank you for allowing us to see another day. And thank you for this house that we can come together in, worship you, praise you, learn about your word, and most importantly, learn to just love you. Help us to love you, God, with all of our heart, all of our mind, our soul, and our strength. Help us to put anything and everything that is before you, put it after you. Help us to put you first, in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you would be in our praise this morning, that you would minister to our hearts and our minds, that you'd set us free from any burdens, any strongholds, anything that the enemy might be having on anybody in this place, Lord. We ask that you would bring deliverance, you'd bring healing, that you'd bring restoration, that you would help us come to that place by our love and dedication to you. In Jesus' name, thank you so much. Amen. Let's worship.
An orphan, you call me. see on the hill of Calvary. My Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. Look at the wounds that give me life, grace flowing from His side. No greater sacrifice. What He's done, what He's done.
Fears relieved. How precious.
soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be.
In Colossians chapter 1, it says that one of the ways to be found pleasing to God is to joyfully give thanks for our salvation. Where would you be without that? I know where some of us would be. It'd be pretty ugly. Can you take a moment right now and just express your gratitude to the Lord for your salvation? You didn't find Him. He found you, remember. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for your goodness. Thanks for you for your salvation. Thank you so much, God. We're so grateful. Come on, just come on. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice and just express your gratitude. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I get to heaven, I know how I'm going to find some of you. I'm just going to listen for the yell. That's great. Hallelujah. This cross is here today to help us remember our good friend and a member of this church, Elaine Tetlow, whose homegoing we celebrated yesterday. And this is one of the flower arrangements, and we have it here to remember her today. The flowers that she's seeing right now, you'd never believe the color. You'd never believe it. Heaven is wilder and more colorful than you could ever imagine. It is. I'm not just making that up. It is. It is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Aren't you grateful? I said to them yesterday, I said, when she closed her eyes at Westerly Hospital and breathed her last, her next breath, when her eyes opened, she was in heaven. I bet you the Lord said, Elaine, you're here. Wow. Hallelujah. What a thought, huh? A glorious thought. Every month, this is the third month, we've been praying for one of the 20 or so submarines that are on our waterfront, 130, 35 crew members and their families, you know, and things that they do. And it's great to have a chaplain that's part of our church is there ministering to those men and women down there on the waterfront. And it's so good to have Chaplain Abishai here. He's also an ordained Assemblies of God minister, in case you didn't know that. And so I've asked Chaplain Abishai to come. And let's together, let's really pray for the USS Oregon today. And all you may know somebody, you may be on that boat, you may know somebody that's attached to that boat. But let's pray for the men and women and families. Amen? Amen. Chaplain?
Hallelujah. Amen. Please open your eyes and look at me before we pray. So when I came to this country and I hear people saying thanks for your service, I didn't understand until I joined the Navy. Now, I was in Israel and they said we want a place called Golan Heights. Some of you probably know
Golan Heights, right?
All right. That's where we share between Syria and Israel, right? So we went there and I asked our guide said, what is this place? And he told me that you guys sleep peacefully because of the men here. The war is not... In fact, when you stand there, you could hear the gunshot in Israel, in Syria. And he said, you guys sleep peace because of the guys, the men and women put it in this land. And being part of the Navy, I see what these young guys do. So church, I think it's important for us to pray for them. They deserve our prayers. So you and I want to pray, join our hands together and intercede and pray for them. Because Bible said that when two of us agree, as touching anything on this earth, it shall be established by our Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. And doesn't matter how well we're prepared, we also know that a horse is prepared for the days of battle, but victory is of the Lord. So as church, we are going to join our hands together. I believe in a corporate prayer. And we pray and intercede for this young, for yes. this boat, USS Oregon, commissioned on 28th of May, 2022, here in Groton, Connecticut. They are out there doing wonderful for God. So let's pray for them. Lift up your hands and pray for them. In your own words, intercede for them. Pray for victory. Pray for joy.
Amen.
Pray for
Amen.
Comfort. Pray for love.
Yes.
Pray for God's presence
yes.
to be more among them. Pray for strength for them. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father,
yes.
we thank
yes.
you once again this
yes.
morning for your
yes. Yes.
love, your presence in the life of USS Oregon. Thank you so much, oh God,
yes,
for this boat.
Yes, yes.
For what you, God, has ordained for this boat to do, to protect our country from aggressors. Lord, oh God, they are out there doing their job. Father, I pray that may you, oh God, show yourself strong wherever they are in the name of Jesus. I pray for peace for them. I pray for strength for them. I pray for comfort for them. I pray for love for them. Father, Lord, let your joy that surpasses all understanding, your peace that surpasses all understanding,
yes,
Father,
yes, yes.
be at the heart, oh God, and the mind of these people in the name of Jesus. Lord, oh God, hold them, oh God, on your wings as eagle in the name of Jesus. May they go forth, oh God, and come back, oh God, in victory in the name of Jesus. Take out evil from them. I pray for their family members, oh God, that Lord, you also be with them in the name of Jesus, Father, and meet their need,
yes,
oh God, in the
yes,
name of Jesus.
Yes.
You said you shall supply all our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, we pray for them, my Lord. Those who are struggling, my Lord, marital issues, oh God, Father, may you touch them in the name of Jesus and bring healing, my God,
yes,
in every endeavor
yes,
of their
yes.
lives in the name of Jesus, Father. Let them see you more in their life, more of your presence, oh God, in their life in the name of Jesus. The leadership, give them
yes,
wisdom,
yes.
give them knowledge, give them strength, give them courage, oh God, to lead the crew of Oregon so that when all things are said and done, we shall give glory to you. Thank you, Father, for being our God, for protecting this boat, my Lord. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take that. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, friends. Go ahead and be seated. We're going to... Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of preaching. No, he didn't say that. It shall be a house of entertainment. No. He said it'd be a house of worship. No. He said it'd be a house of prayer. But prayer's a big value around here. And we're going to continue praying. We're going to watch a brief video because this is the weekend before Independence Day. I don't care. Yeah, America's messed up. But it's still a great nation.
Yes!
You know? It's still a great nation. You know? It's messed up. Yeah. Yes, it's corrupt. Yes, it's all kinds of things. But it's still a great nation. And let's take a look at this brief video, and then after the video, we'll keep the lights down, and then we're going to, I want you to stand with me, and we're going to pray for our nation. And we're going to pray, first of all, this is how we're going to start. I'm going to pray for the 350,000 congregations of all kinds across America that they preach the truth of the gospel. If that happens, revival will come to America. Okay? And stop preaching all kinds of nonsense, but preach the truth. And we'll start with that. We'll start with that because that's the greatest force in America right there. Not political power, but that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's how we're gonna pray. But let's watch this quick video. Me? Yeah, stand with me. Stand with me. Lord, in some ways it's hard to pray that you would bless this nation, the world's greatest progenitor of porn. It's hard to pray your blessing upon a nation that is corrupt in so many places and ways. It's hard, oh God, to pray your blessing upon a nation that wastes taxpayers' dollars like this, like water. It's hard to pray your blessing on a nation that slaughters the unborn and celebrates perversity of every kind. It's hard to pray blessing on that nation. But we pray, God, may you shed your grace on us. And I pray for the 350,000 or so congregations of all kinds that stretch from sea to shining sea and from border to border in Alaska and Hawaii, that every single one of them would preach the truth. Not some political thing or some current cultural norm, but the truth of your word. And God, I dare ask you to remove every church and every congregation and every pastor or leader that is not doing so. Remove them. You said you would. I ask you to. And God, help every church that is attempting to preach your truth with power and love. Help us to do it with every bit of strength that you provide. That God, that you can do what you want to do still in this great nation. There are still more. And even today, Lord, the rally at the Capitol there in Hartford, so impacted by rain, even still, Lord, we pray, God, that for our own land here in Connecticut, God, the birthplace of Charles Finney, the site of where Edwards preached sinners in the hands of an angry God, places impacted by, God, by famous preachers like Hooker there in Hartford and Beecher in Litchfield. We cry one more time. Do it one more time. Across America, one more great awakening. We look to our political leaders. They're flawed at best. At best. Our hope is not in them, but it's in you. It's in you. So for our great land, we do, as Paul told Timothy, to pray for those in leadership in our land. Give them wisdom. May they never succumb to their own desires or their own agendas or the agendas of powerful people and entities. But may they bend their knees to you, like that picture in my office. We got to linger for just a moment here. Come on. Lift up your voice. You've been listening to me pray. This is your country too, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Forgive us. Forgive us.
Renew a right spirit in us.
Move across our nation, oh God. Forgive us, Lord. Some of us, some of your people have been lax, and some of us have given place to the evil one and to sin. Forgive us. May we not be quick to point fingers at other people when we should be pointing them at ourselves. Spirit of God. It's easy, Lord, for us to point fingers at various people and entities, but God, may we be sure that our own hearts and lives are pure before you and before others. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus.
For your honor and glory, Lord.
Yeah, for your honor and your glory. If you agree with me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Let's continue to pray for this great nation. I will just say this. Let me tell you why. God, one of the reasons God allows this nation to stand, and one of the reasons the devil wants to take it down so high, there is no other nation on earth that sends the number of missionaries around the world like this one does. That's one of the primary reasons the devil wants to take it down. Never forget that. Every time you give to missions, you're helping defeat the devil. You know? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're visiting today, I'm Pastor Brad. Great to have you here. And those of you online, we welcome you too. And we would love to connect with you. And there are easy ways to do that around here. If you want to just take your camera and hit that QR code in front of you, it takes you to a landing page. There's lots of options there. Or you can text the word welcome to the number on the screen. Then a link comes back. Hit that link and complete it. It takes you less than a minute. And then we are connected. And we'd love to do that. Amen. So as a way of welcoming you, we clap around here. So we're just going to just receive our applause as welcome. It's great to have all of you here. Wow. Amen. And amen. I've been trying to update you on some of the stuff that because of your generosity, we've been able to do some things. Again, like for instance, the Amazing Chemistry Show. That's not a cheap deal, but because you guys have been so generous, we're able to do it for free and offer it to the community for free. It would cost you about $20 a person to come to that thing. You know that, right? That's how much it would cost, about $20 a person. But because you've been so free and so liberal and so faithful, you know, we're able to do that for absolutely free. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the following week, too, the Sunday Fun Day. Again, if we charge for that, it costs. But we don't have to charge because you've given so freely. So thank you. But I want to show you something else here. There's a lot of concern about, especially in the Northeast, and the strategic college campuses that are here. We can cry and whine about that, or we can pray and do something about it. And Seaport did something about it. I want to show you this. Bring this slide up here. Okay, this is Northeast Regional Campus Training. These are 120 college campus missionaries. 120 of them, 60 kids. Seaport Community Church, you were one of the major funders for this, so these kids didn't have to pay their way to come. You know, we gave $2,500 as a primary sponsor to help them so they could get there to be trained and go back to 32 different college campuses in the Northeast region of the United States to do ministry. You did that. Just think of that. 32 different universities and colleges. These highly equipped people will be returning to. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. Hallelujah. It's a great thing, isn't it? It's a great thing. Let me just share a couple of things with you real quick, like, and then we'll get to Chris's message. I'm anxious to hear this message myself. I know that sometimes we talk about tithing. Tithe means tenth, and we give that first 10% to the Lord. I know that for some of us that's pretty scary, you know, because we're afraid that we won't have enough. We're afraid that if we do that, you know, we won't have enough to meet our needs. I got to tell you, don't be ruled by fear. I know it's a big thing. I get it. I know it. And, but notice what Jesus said. He said, if you seek first His kingdom and a right relationship with Him, then all, what's it say there?
All.
I said, no, you read it right. It says just part, maybe hopefully, that what you need. No, it says all?
All?
All? So that when we put that first, then we can expect Him to meet all of our needs, right? There you go. Some of you, if you're not familiar with that, there's a little brochure out there on those giving boxes, kiosks, that explains it, will help you to understand. You can just pick that up. Anyway, there's how to give. On the screen, you can see how to do that. Anyway, hallelujah. I teach giving. I'm not ever embarrassed to teach it because I know how God blesses people who give. And I got 50 years experience with it. So I know how God blesses generous people. Seen it over and over and over and over again. So I hope that you'll be one of those. Amen? Amen. Experience God's provision. Amen. So there's a lot going on here. Wednesday night, I'm going to teach on how to turbocharge your prayers through fasting. Fasting will do things for you almost nothing else will. And I'm going to teach you how fasting works and why it works and how to do it. Okay? The kingdom to the capital, we've been struggling with that thing, but it's going to start at 3, and then it will shift over to a local church at 5 that's in Hartford. Okay? Tuesday's the 4th of July. Hard to believe already, huh? Church office is not open. If you want to find out if what your gifts are or how you can best serve the body of Christ, that's Engage. And that you can do that in person or online. You can do that. July the 12th, we're doing a night of worship here. It's just prayer, testimonies, and songs. And it's always a powerful evening together. Join us for that. You got a baby that you want dedicated to Jesus? I love doing baby dedications. You know, and so you can sign up for all this stuff where? Yeah. There you go. The Amazing Chemistry Show, you know, I mean, you've heard all about that. The best thing that you can do with the Chemistry Show is to promote it. So help us with that. We're actually over half full right now. We're 3 weeks away and we're over half full. So I would suggest that you register soon. Okay. The Sunday Fun Day, you need to register for that as well. But we need some help to make that a great day for our kids. So you need to sign up in the Narthex. We really need some help. We've got some huge inflatables that we're bringing in for the kids. But we need some help with that. Okay? And sign up there. This time, you're not signing up in the app. You're actually signing up out there. Okay? All right. There's so much that's going on here. I'm going to release the middle schoolers. They can head out of here. They're going to the fellowship hall. They can head out of here right now. And as they're heading out, Chris is going to come right now. And we're continuing the series Commissioned as we look at the commands of Jesus. Chris?
Pastor Brad? Good morning, Seaport. How's everybody doing this morning? Just all right? Come on. You can do better than that. That's what I'm talking about. You know, people often look everywhere trying to find love. In fact, tons of songs have been written about looking for love in all the wrong places. And that's what we do. We often look for love in all the wrong places. Often we search for love, right? We search for it in other people. We search for it in our families. We search for it in our children. We search for it in our parents. Maybe we search through our hobbies or we get just devoured into our work, or we have fast cars and motorcycles and sports and clothes. And some people, they're just into shoes and they love them. In today's world, you can even find a fake love in virtual reality, in that virtual reality world. And if you're looking for love, there's really no limits. There's no limits to where you can look. And whenever there is no limits, that's when it seems that we tend to go overboard. When there are no guardrails out there, we just always seem to be off into the wilderness, looking for love in all the wrong places. And you'll always know because you have this feeling that you can never find it when you're looking in those wrong places. It puts this temporary love, or you may find this temporary relief, some kind of temporary fulfillment, but it's just that. It's temporary. But why is that? Why is it only temporary? Because when we're looking for that one place, there is the one place to look for love. It's that in loving God. Because when we love God, that's when we truly find our fulfillment, our joy. Because God created us with this longing. He created us with this longing for love. And when we look for it in any other place, in anything else other than Him, we're never satisfied. Yet, we love our spouses, we love our children, we love our families, we love our neighbors. But that deep down longing for love, it can only be fulfilled by loving God. And as we continue in our series of the commandments of Jesus, why don't you pull out your preferred biblical viewing platform, whatever that might be, because we're going to take a look at the greatest commandment today. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 38, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. You know, notice that Jesus used the heart first, because the heart is representative of our emotions, especially love. So loving God naturally begins with the heart. But genuine love doesn't stay in the heart. Because where that deep down love is, it will manifest and it will just spring forward through our actions, through our words, through our behaviors, and it will radiate to everyone that's around us. You see, it's experienced in the choices that we make, in the thoughts that we think, and even how we live our lives day to day. And so, let's say that, suppose your spouse, and I would hope they say, I love you, but say their actions and their lifestyle showed something that was entirely different. Would you believe that they loved you? I mean, what if you claim to love God, but you never go to church? What if you claim to love God, but you use foul language all of the time, or you're continually getting drunk, or you are promiscuous, or you're stealing from your neighbor, or you're not helping people? Would God believe that you loved him? Would your lifestyles, would your actions, would those things reveal how much love you have for God? Because today what we're really talking about is we're talking about love. Loving above all else. And so let's take a look inward, a look inside, and let's give him the space right now to reveal things in our own lives that maybe need to be brought back into alignment. You know, because Jesus said, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. In other words, in the day when sin becomes popular, many will become hostile towards the Lord by becoming warm towards the ways of the world. And so let's look at how Jesus commands us to love. You know, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? The Pharisees, they tried to trap him. They tried to ensnare him by asking him that question, by asking him, what is the greatest commandment? You see, they often engaged him in his knowledge and interpretation of the law, but it was in order to undermine him, to undermine his authority, and to find grounds to try and accuse him. And here they just hoped again to entangle Jesus by posing a question about the greatest commandment. They knew that the religious laws contained numerous commandments, and there were a lot of differing opinions about which was the most significant. And so by asking Jesus to identify the greatest commandment, they anticipated that they were going to throw a stone in his pond, that whatever answer that he gave would alienate some group. And their intention was to create a situation where they would just have more ammunition to just criticize and discredit him. Yet immediately, he proceeded to talk about the command to love God and love others. You see, he's telling us love for God and love for others is a command. It's not just a good idea. It's not just something we do because it makes us feel good. We often don't think of love as a command, though, do we? We think of love as more of a feeling. But it really is a law within itself. We think of love as something that we either need to feel or not feel. But the Lord reveals to us that we can control our love. Because if not, then why would he have commanded it? I mean, how often do we get this wrong? Often we think of love in terms of what we like. of what we esteem. You know, and to esteem something, it really means to, you know, have a high respect or to consider it. We say things, you know, we say that we love certain things like motorcycles, sailboats, sports teams, when we actually just esteem them. We just really like them, right? They are important to us, so we use the term love. It encompasses everything for us. You might hear a person say, you might even hear me say, I love the Boston Red Sox. That's my team. And you might hear me say, I love No, you won't hear me say I love the Yankees. Let's be honest. You never hear me say that. Maybe Pastor Debbie. But yet, so often, when we hear people talk about sports teams, sometimes they don't even know a single person on the team. Yet they'd still use the word love when speaking about that team. Actually, what they're saying is they simply esteem them. They look up to them. Whenever their team's on, they cheer for them, right? They pull for them to win. But you see, we mix up love and esteem all the time. We might say something like this, I love French fries. But really, what we're saying is I just like them a lot. They're worthy of every side dish that I might like. You know, someone else might say they hate French fries, in which case I would say we should have a chat. But in fact, we may love French fries, but one day we may hate them the next. Especially when we get on our scales at home after too many French fries, after too much pizza, or after too many hamburgers. You know, several months ago, I have a young man in my life who loved pizza rolls. He ate probably a package a day, I think. One day I looked in the freezer and there was probably like 5 to 10 bags of unopened pizza rolls. And I was thinking, like, why do we have so many all of a sudden? And in an instant, my eldest, Caden, decided that pizza rolls, they were no longer good. He had turned this love for pizza rolls into a disdain for pizza rolls, for that same food that he loved for months and months and months. In fact, he loved him so much that we got him a Christmas ornament with pizza rolls on it. But that's the way things are sometimes in our lives. We think of love in terms of how much we esteem a certain thing, a certain person, a certain food. And I'm sure as you quickly kind of roll that mental Rolodex around, you can think of something that at one point in your life you loved, like Fluffernutter sandwiches. But now when I think of them, I only think of a sugar coma, so I don't love them. But after all, love for things and love for the world are temporary. You see, we can love a food, a favorite show, or even something. But in time, those things, they will just pass us by. For many of those things that we think we love, they're really esteem, and they can kind of change as the wind just kind of blows them. And I'm sure for many, when we think of love, we actually think of the emotion of love. In other words, our love depends on how we feel about something. And since we are fickle as human beings, we often have emotions that change like the directions of that Forrest Gump feather that just kind of bobs through the wind. We may feel a certain way on Mondays and a different way on Wednesday and a different way on Friday. Heck, some of us have swings that happen depending on the time of day or if we're hangry or not. That makes the love of these fleshly things very dangerous. Because our emotions, they tend to go upward and downward and left and right and backward and forward. We're on fire one day and then cold as ice the next. Emotions, they can't be trusted. I mean, how we feel towards the things of the world can be influenced by so many things. And we have to be careful to not let the emotion drive our lives. Because really, there are hosts of people today that are in prison because they lost their temper. That is, they lost control of their emotions, albeit only for a moment, maybe even a split second. I mean, one man said, I lose my temper. I blow up, but it's only for a minute or two. And then his friend said, yeah, but a shotgun goes off in a second. But look at the damage that it can cause. So if human love is so fickle and changing with the world, influenced by any number of things, then what does God intend for our life and our love to look like? You know, to God, love is essential. That is God's nature. It is love. He loves because he is love, which means that for us to love in the way that God loves requires his supernatural help. And if it requires his supernatural help, then he's going to make it available to us. I mean, look what it says in Romans 5:5. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And since his love is poured out and poured into our love, it's possible for us to love in the way that he loves if we tap in to the love that he's given us. But we have to tap into it. We have to tap in to that love that he's told us to have. To have that supernatural power, because he has filled us with that love. And loving the way that God loves is strange to us. His love is really behind and beyond our comprehension, because it's unconditional, it's undeserving. He gives it to us when we're in our worst, when we've done our worst. God laid down the law regarding love with love, and he commands us to love him and to love others as he loves us. Love must be at the root. It has to be at the root of our relationship with him. He commands us to love with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And when our love comes from what he has planted within us, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to work through us, we tap in and we can share that same love with everyone around us. We can share that love and that mercy and that grace that he has shared with us. You see, because God puts his love in us, and we are love just like he is, so that we can share his love that he bores for us and then radiate it to everyone that's around us. You see, if you flip a little further into John 13:34, he even went on to say, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other." You see, we are told to love the Lord our God. He is the Lord of our lives. A true love for God is also for others. And it has to do with us understanding who is in charge of our relationships. You see, when we fail to love God properly, we are actually unseating him from his rightful place in our hearts. Because if he is our Lord, if he is our God, then you have the mind of Christ within you. First and foremost, loving properly begins with recognizing that the Lord is in control of our hearts and our minds. And when we love God, when we truly love God as we should, it's not just a feeling. It's not just expressed with words. Rather, true love for God results in obedience to his word. I mean, it says it right in 1 John 5:2 and 3. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and by carrying out his commands. And his command is to love him and to love others with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and even in other verses, with all our strength. This is the love of God, to obey his commands, because his commands are not burdensome. You see, loving God means that we obey him, and that obedience we give to him is not burdensome. We obey with a spirit of joy and readiness, not getting us upset when he asks us to do something. We love others, not because they deserve it, not because they meet our approval, but because we are loved by God, and we count that joy and the love that he gives us for his sake. You see, your love for people flows from the abundance of love that God has for you and that God has placed inside of you when you tap into that. I mean, look what it says in John 14:21. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Are the ones who love me. And if we flip a little further and read in 2 John 1:6, love means doing what God has commanded us to do. It doesn't say, love God because I feel like it right now, today, maybe tomorrow. It says, love God because he has commanded us to. You know, as I was preparing this message this week, I was out seeking God at Avery Point. I usually go there when I'm praying in the evening. And as I was headed home, I felt the urge that I needed to take the scenic route. And as I was blasting home on my motorcycle, it was about 1 a.m. There was a car that was stopped on the side of the road with their hazards on, and a guy just like frantically trying to flag somebody down. And of course, I did like most people, like kind of just sped right by. But then I felt that familiar tug, like, nah, I need to go talk to that guy. And so I turned back around and found out that his gas gauge was busted, and he was just stuck on the side of the road with his puppy in the car. And I was like, he was like, well, I mean, do you have any gas in your bike? And I was like, I mean, not extra gas, but but I was like, well, I mean, the gas station's a couple miles down the road. I mean, you can jump on. I'll take you to get some gas. And he was like, kind of looked at me like, well, I see no other way. And I was like, all right. So we blasted over to the gas station. He got a gas can. He was filling up his gas tank. And he was like, I'm going to give you $20 to give me back. I'm like, you don't have to give me any money, man. I'll bring you back to your car. But while we were standing there just getting gas, I was sharing Jesus with him. And I was talking, I was like, man, what are the chances that at 1 o'clock in the morning, a pastor was going to ride by on his motorcycle and pick you up? I bet you didn't see that in the plan today. And now he didn't give his life to Christ at that moment. I did invite him to church, but he wasn't from around here. But it's right then. It was simply loving a guy who was in need for no other reason than to just share Christ's love and his light with somebody else. I mean, of course, how many times, though, do we, even me, fail in this matter when God has perfectly placed us to provide something for somebody? But we're not focused on that. We're focused on ourselves. We're focused on our needs, so we're blind to the need of someone else who may be sitting right next to us. You know, if you find yourself in this predicament that you're not reaching out with that helping hand, perhaps it's time to check your priorities. You know, is God trying to work through you, or are you just trying to ignore it? Are you choosing to let the ignorance or the busyness distract you? Or maybe you're just wondering, has my love gone cold because I don't feel it? Or maybe you're simply tainted because you had some past things that happened in your life, and there's something that's putting a barrier between you and him. You see, when we realize that our love has grown cold towards others, we really need to align our priorities. We really need to get ourselves back in alignment. We really need to run back towards Jesus. Because he is our lifeline. He is our lifeblood. We need to remember what our purpose is. You see, if you look at what John tells us in the Revelation when he's talking to the church about Ephesus or at Ephesus in Revelation 2, 4, and 5, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. You see, Jesus, he clearly tells us over and over and over again to get your love life right, or you're going to lose the light that's within you. We cannot be ambassadors for Christ if we're not reflecting and radiating God's love in his actions, in our attitudes, in our behaviors, in everything we do every day. You see, to allow the love of God to flow through you, back to him and out to others, when we abide in a place of rest and a place of peace. You see, John 15:10 says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. When we love as Jesus commands us, we have a wonderful peace. We have a wonderful rest. We have a wonderful ease in our lives. And it doesn't matter the circumstances or the storms that are surrounding us. Things like anger and envy and jealousy towards others, they create stress and tension and a lack of joy. And we're called to love those who have identified as unlovable. Not just those that are easy to love, that are happy all the time, that are glad to see you. Often those that are in the unlovable state, they're in the worst part that they can be. And what they need is for you to reflect and radiate God's love onto them. Not take their bitterness and hold on to it and give it back to them. You see, letting go and loving God grants peace. It grants rest. And it's observed by everyone that's around us. You know, I had the privilege yesterday of coming to Elaine's service yesterday for us to honor her. And although I didn't know Elaine very much, she was always so happy. She always radiated the love of Christ, and it was evident in all the people that were here and all the stories that I heard and the people that came up and sang for her and the stories that were told about her. She reflected Jesus in everything that she did. And it was amazing. And it was evident to those that were around her. Because God's love produces rest. It produces joy. Because the Lord reveals himself to those who love him, which means to know him in our experiences of everyday life. And the more that we love him, the more that I love him, the more that we love others, the more real that he makes himself to us. Some people, they want God to be real for them, but they don't. They don't have a love for him that involves obedience for the love of him, for the love of others, for getting into the scripture. Again, if you just read John 14:21, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Did you hear that? He will show himself to the ones who love him. We know God has corporate love for the whole world, but be assured that Jesus is talking about something else. He is saying that loving as we should love, as the Spirit leads us, will lead us to more love, making us have a closer walk with God every day, making us to reflect and radiate more love and more light to all that are around us by pressing in to him. And when we love him properly, we see him more personally in everything that we do, in every encounter that we have, in the smallest of things. Because the Lord uniquely reveals himself to those around him, to those that love him, to those that love him well, to those that press into the things that he asks you to do. You know, maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, Chris, I do feel distant from the Lord. You know, maybe you feel like you pray, but when you pray, your prayers hit this like invisible wall in the ceiling. Or perhaps it's just that your love life is really not in alignment, that the things that you're trying to send up are just selfish means. You know, maybe that daily appointment with God that we've been talking about for a long time, maybe that daily appointment for you really has turned into like a weekly or a monthly or a quarterly, just kind of checking the block, like, hey, God, how you doing? I'm all right. I need some money. We have to get rid of the barriers that are placed in our heart to be transparent with him, to go to him with everything every day, to not just wait until the storms are surrounding, but to have a personal, real relationship with him because we love him, not because we're just trying to check a box. The Lord anoints those who love him with spiritual power and greater knowledge of his word. I mean, ask yourself, have you ever seen someone that was anointed by God that didn't love people? That didn't love God? I haven't. Usually they just have this joy that radiates about them like Elaine did. Because we cannot be filled with his spirit if we have this spirit of indifference, of bitterness, of anger, grudges, and other attitudes that we present in our heart. Because that's what we end up reflecting out. And when those aberrant or perverse attitudes are in our hearts, are we really reflecting God's light? Are we really reflecting God's love? But are we really stifling God's power because of some discontent in our life? You know, often this points to us putting our desires before His desires, to magnifying ourselves above God by having these selfish desires. And those selfish desires, they cut away the voice of God. They cut away because we can't hear. And when our hearts are filled with the desires of this world, when we listen to the wrong voice, then we can't discern the truth. And I can't tell you how many times, especially at work, I've heard people tell me, you know, I need God to show me. I need God to show me. I need God to show me this direction in my life. But let me ask, He's not going to give you a direction or have this possibility for you if you're not loving Him like He demands you to love Him. We need to press in to God's love for us, and He will give us everything. He will reveal everything to us. But it takes us to be in communion with Him. You know, perhaps you're not sensing His direction because there is something. There's something in your life, maybe something that is putting space between you and Him. And maybe that space that is between you and Him is that there isn't any you and Him. The only thing is just you. And yes, I love God on Sundays. If you want to hear from God, then you really need to be honest with Him by building your relationship with Him, by letting His love fill your heart and letting His words replenish your soul and your mind by reading the Word, by listening to the Word, and by renewing your mind. Because often it takes us to remember. It takes us to remember our first love with Him. To remember what Jesus has done for us. I mean, look at the example of Mary. When she came into the room where Jesus was and she poured out her precious perfume on Him. Some of the disciples around her, they just criticized her for wasting that. But Jesus pointed out that those who realize that they have been forgiven, that they will always show a greater gratitude. A greater gratitude. In other words, the self-righteous ones in the crowd, they complained. But the one woman who knew the incredible forgiveness that she was given, that she was shown, was willing to express her love openly, to give it her all. To cultivate a greater love for God and for others, you have to remember your first love. You have to take it back and remember where God has brought you from. Because I know I'll never forget the day on my living room floor when I pledged my life to Him, when I surrendered everything to Him. And I've never been the same since. And I'm sure those of you sitting here can think of that exact moment. That alone should move us to a loving response in everything that we do when we put Him in His rightful place at the center of our life, as the Lord of our life. So ask yourself this question. Do I love God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind? Because if you didn't notice, He put all in front of those things. Jesus said we're to love with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. I mean, I can say I love God, my wife, French fries, sailboats, and motorcycles, but I don't love French fries like I love my wife, and I don't love God like I love my wife. God wants our all. We can't love God today and not tomorrow. We can't love Him, but then also love the things in the world and elevate all of those things above Him. We need to love God above all else and in total completeness. Why? Why though? Because He made us to love Him. He created us in His image. Each and every one of us created to fellowship with Himself. But sin was the thing that broke that fellowship between us, that created this separation between us. And that's why we continue to look for love in all the wrong places. And as we continue to look for love in all those wrong places, we never find it. Because really what we're looking for is Him. We're made in the image of God to love, to worship, to glorify Him. So when we are not loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with our mind, there's this emptiness. This emptiness that longs to be filled. To be filled with He who can fill it. And instead of looking everywhere else, we should be looking up. Each of us should examine our own heart, because it's with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind that we need to give that love to God. We need to put God back at the center of our lives and make Him the thing that's above everything else. Because if you say that you love God, but your lifestyles and your actions and your words don't prove it, when God asks you to do something, do you say, well, let me weigh that against the impact of my comfort before I decide whether or not I'm going to do that thing He asked me to do? Are you really saying that He's at the top of your life? Or are you really saying that you're at the top of your life? Because if you've been looking for love in all the wrong places and wondering why you're struggling, try looking to the right place. Try looking up. Try looking up at a loving God who's waiting for you. Waiting for you to give Him your love. To give Him all of your love. All of your heart. All of your mind. All of your soul. You see, when we truly love God with our whole being, there's no question. It absolutely overflows and naturally overflows into the relationships that we have with others. You see, we're called also in that same set of verses to love our neighbors as ourselves. Extending that same love and grace and mercy that God has lavished upon us. And we do it freely when we have that love of God pouring out of us. Our love for one another, it becomes a powerful testimony of the transformative power of God, not of us. Because we can share God and share that hope that's real to us through our actions. We have the opportunity, we have the privilege to reveal the depth of our relationship with Him and to show others the depth of His love for them too. Friends, the greatest commandment challenges us to examine our own hearts, to examine our own souls, to examine our own minds. It calls us for a radical love of God that encompasses every aspect, and all the fruit of this should be evident in everything that you do, across all aspects of your life. When you meet another person, there should be no question. They know that you love Jesus and that He loves you because you share it with them. So stand with me. Because I want to take a moment right now for you to ask yourself this question. Am I loving God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and with all of my soul? And is that fruit evident in my life? And there's really a simple test. If I love Jesus with all of my heart, did I spend my daily appointment with God this last week? Did I really press in this last week to everything that God had for me? Or was I just checking a block? And if the answer to that question isn't a resounding yes, then don't wait any longer. Make it your priority this week to get with God. To get with Him, because He wants to supercharge you. And you will be astonished, absolutely astonished, how much closer you will grow to God if you just spend some time with Him. He will recharge your love tank. And it will be evident to everyone around you. And Father God, we thank You. We thank You that You loved us first, even when we didn't know You. I pray You continue to help us. Continue to help us to feel Your joy and Your love, and that we may use that joy to pour into those that are around us, that anyone comes into our path, that nothing is impossible with You. Lord, I pray that we may continue to seek Your presence every day, that we press into Your presence every day, that we fully surrender our will to you, that you engage our minds in the pursuit of the truth. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we put you first, Father, that you are our definition of true love and not the things of this world. As we do so, Father, let us take advantage of every opportunity that we have to serve as a beacon of hope in this world. Because there are those out there that desperately need your love, Lord. Let us never miss an opportunity to shine your light to someone living in the darkness. Lord, I pray that we embrace your greatest commandment, to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, let's worship.
And I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for you.
Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, we're going to bring the prayer team up. You know, maybe it's been some time that you spent some time with the Lord. Maybe you got some things that are between you and Him that are causing you to feel like your love's grown cold. You know, don't miss the opportunity right now to come up and talk to one of these prayer team leaders, to share in them the struggles that you have going on, to pray with them. You know, maybe you've never taken that step. Maybe you've never asked Jesus into your heart. Maybe you didn't even realize that there was this thing that was between you, and you've been the one that's been searching for love in all those wrong places. Don't look any further. Don't wait. Don't miss the opportunity. Take it right now. Come up and talk to one of these folks. It's sin that separates you from God because you keep looking everywhere else except to Him. All you need to do is look to Him, and He'll take you the rest of the way. Don't be afraid. Make that leap. Take that step right now. Come forward and do that if you haven't done it yet. If you're online and you're not sure what to do, just reach out to one of the ministry team members. We're all here for you. It's sin that separates us from God. Erase that barrier by bringing everything back to Him, by loving Him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Father God, I just pray right now that we spend time in Your presence, Lord. Lord, that You reveal Yourself to us in everything that we do, Lord, because we're pressing into You, Lord. Lord, may You continue to bless everyone in this congregation, Lord. May You give them opportunities for them to reflect Your light and Your love onto those that are around us and make them ask the question, what's different about You? I want what You have. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Lord, I dismiss us in our great grace right now. Make sure you guys join us this afternoon or this evening for the Sean Voigt, just praise and worship that's happening at the Capitol. It's an awesome time to really share with other people and press into everything that God has for our nation. You guys have a great week. Don't forget your kids. Make sure we see you on Wednesday.